So we left off in the previous year trying to understand all the different conditions of Achzara that are necessary to be met in order for us to permit Achzara. So the first condition, of course, appears in the Mishnah. That's the condition of Guf Uktuma. And the second two conditions appear in the Gemara, or the other, that L'Hachzir, we had a Machlokes, and the Rishonim, whether at the end of the day we require both conditions, and they perhaps so one of the conditions is sufficient, even if one is sufficient, we're not sure exactly which one is sufficient. Then we spoke a little bit about just what Old Biyado means. Is Old Biyado the exact opposite of Yinich HaGabikarka, or can you have something in between? So we had all the different possibilities, both in terms of Zman and Gemara, in terms of possible application of Zman HaZeh. We basically concluded as follows, that the correct way to set up one's kitchen on Shabbos is to only do achzar if all the conditions are met. If you have a guf ktuma, obviously, the modern day blach, if you have Od Biyado, if you have Dait L'Hachzer, the real McCoy, in order to permit achzar properly. If, for whatever reason, some of the other conditions, the guf ktuma is not negotiable, that's the Mishnah, but if for whatever reason one or two of the other conditions weren't present in the fullest glory, so then we can begin to chisel away a little bit. If it's Od Biyado, if it's missing Dait L'Hachzer, that's a little bit more lenient. If it's the other way around, if it's Dait L'Hachzer missing Od Biyado, it's a little bit less lenient. Then we had the possibility of maybe putting it down on the counter, maybe put it on the table, may not be as bad. Again, those are all the B'diyavet, Shebediyavet, the Chathchila, and one should insist on Guf Ktuma, Od Biyado, and Dait L'Hachzer. If we go back, back to the first of the Rav Kamos, the Gemara raised a question, also an unresolved question, about something which may throw a monkey wrench into Achzara. Even if the conditions are technically met, we may still have a problem. We go back to the first of the Ma'amar Kamos, it's the very last line of the Sugya. The last line by Rav Ashi, Pinan mimecham lemecha mahu, teku. What if a person moved the food from one pot to another pot? What is the din? And the Gemara leaves it unresolved, teku. What in the world does that mean? So here, what the Gemara means is as follows, is that the conditions of Achzara, at least the ones that we've seen up till now, have been met. It's Guf Ktuma. Any place you're putting back on the fire, it's Guf Ktuma. You have never put it down. It is still technically, quote-unquote, Od Biyado. You had Das, Zayit Al-Hachzeh, you have everything going for you. What went wrong? You switched pots. Namely, you emptied the contents out of pot A into pot B, and I want to put pot B back onto the fire. Now, in terms of the Guf Ktuma I have, and Od Biyado I have, not Lachs I have, but here I have something else which may throw a problem into this equation. Perhaps once you switch contents from one pot to another, maybe that's a whole new Chumrah. That's also for a whole new reason. Why is it also? What could possibly be wrong? So the Chumrah, we have to go back to square one, back to the very beginning. Why Hachzar was also in the first place? So we have the two official reasons. One reason is Mechzikim of Hashel. The other reason is when something's been off the fire for too long, so that it starts to cool down already, and we start to be concerned with Shemichat v'Gecholam. Maybe one could argue that Chazal instituted across the board, B'meh Dvar Mamurim, we're going to permit Hachzara, when it's Hachzara. Hachzara, of course, meaning returning the food to the fire. Putting food on the fire from scratch is always Asur. That's the ultimate Mechzikim of Hashel. That's the ultimate Shemichat v'Gecholam. So maybe the picture doesn't look right here. Here I'm taking a pot of food and putting a pot of food onto the fire. That pot was never really on the fire from beforehand. Now it's true the food was on the fire from beforehand. That is correct. But once the food's been transferred from pot A to pot B to pot C to pot, it's made a couple of trips along the way. Maybe one can argue that that undermines any heterim of Od Biyado Dait L'Hachzer. That's in a certain sense the antithesis of Od Biyado Dait L'Hachzer. Od Biyado Dait L'Hachzer is trying to conjure up the image that you're merely continuing where you left off. Now if you're turning around and transferring from one pot to the next, that undermines that image, and now you're back to square one. You have the original fears, whether they're Mechzikim of Asher, Shemichat V'Cholim, etc. So that's a suffix of Rav Asher. I didn't say B'Torah Zavad. Rav Asher has a suffix in four words, Pidim Mechel Mechama. What would the din be if you have Pidim Mechel Mechama, even though you kept all the other conditions, but you went ahead and did Pidim Mechel Mechama, what would the din be? And take the Gemara applied by a suffix. We're not sure what the din is. Now, whenever we have a suffix, whenever we have a take in the sugya,
is that strange that the Gemara doesn't try to debate this issue?
Like, I don't know. The Gemara didn't debate a lot of things here. The Gemara says, "Boyer of Yira told me Makal Mahu, told he nechem gabi mita Mahu." Boyer of Asher, a lot of Eliyahu knows he had a lot of work to do in Parakira when he comes. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't explain to the start of the mark. Maybe we can figure out on our own. The start of mark. The Gemara doesn't mean any rise. The
Sophic. Why don't they have a book there?
I don't know. The stamma that Rav Ashi was sitting with all the Talmidim, when the Gemara says by Rav Ashi, it doesn't just mean Rav Ashi himself was sitting around one day and thought of this suffix and didn't buy. It means Rav Ashi was Rav Shiva. He had tens of thousands of Talmidim sitting around, and over the course of 30 years, the Gemara says that it took him 30 years to chazer over all of Shas one time, and then he did it a second time. So that was his Seder Halim. 60 years, he finished the whole Shas. So Mishtama, he spoke to somebody about it, and in the course of 60 years, they finally thought about it a little bit, and they came to the conclusion, we don't know what the answer is. Take it. Suffix, no better than anything convincing, compelling to say. So now, this usually doesn't bode well for us when we see a take with the end of these suffixes, because we've already plugged this in already a few times. What do you do when you have a suffix in these kinds of halachas? So we had one group of Rishonim, led of course back from Rabbeinu Baruch. Somebody said I didn't even agree with Rabbeinu Baruch, I don't know about that, but I quoted a machmir against Rabbeinu Baruch. So somebody, Rabbeinu Baruch, looked at all these suffixes and said, Teiku, oh, it's the Rabbana, it's the Rabbana, cool, everything's great. And we had other Rishonim, the Ran, who said, Teiku, everything's terrible, because this is like a quasi deraisa, even though it's not a real deraisa, but we have to be machmir because it's karvel deraisa. And we had some Rishonim who said, Teiku, that means that's a different kind of suffix. That's a suffix that's not given to for any conclusion. If Chazawa mistapeg, they left it as a teiku, you have no right to say sefer tovah l'kulam. You are going to pask him what Chazal did. Chazal said they have no idea. They threw their hands up and says, we don't know what to do. Chazal don't know what to do, but I know what to do. It's motor. Can't do that. Some Rishonim said, whenever you have a teiku, you can't do that.
Why is the teiku they did both?
What do you mean both?
They
weren't sure. They didn't know what the answer was.
Whoever followed the one rough.
No, but it wasn't even a suffix of a Rav. It wasn't like a machlekes in I said this, you said this. Teiku means the Chachmei Gemara threw their hands up and says, this is a not resolved suffix. We have certain sfeikas in Allah that it is not resolved. So this is a suffix. It can't be resolved. Hachi Yavol Yo. Yo Navi will come. They'll reconvene the base. They're not going. The Sanhedrin, they'll figure out what to do. Until then, we have no idea what to do. So some Rishonim say, we have no idea what to do. So therefore, so what do you do? So some Rishonim say, well, if it's a take one of Deraisa, it's like a suffix. It's a suffix of the Chumra. If it's a take one of Derabanan, then it's a Derabanan, suffix of the Kula. And other Rishonim say, no. Whenever you have a take, so that means Chazal said, stop. Chazal said, stop, don't do anything. We cannot sanction doing anything. You just have to shave your tusks, can't do anything. Ayat zidir rabbanon, okay, but we still can't do it. A suffix to rabbanon l'kula wouldn't apply in the situation of a teiku. So whenever we see that word teiku, we get very, very weary in the sugya. So this doesn't bode well for us in terms of pinur mechem l'mechem. So believe it or not, this is one example where the poskim were actually mechem. And this suffix of pinur mechem l'mechem, the Mishnah Berurah himself is mechem. I thought it was on these marim kamos again, I guess it wasn't. And there's a line in the Mishnah Berurah in the Sharat Tzion, when the Mishnah Berurah, Chafetz Chaim himself, is Naitel Hakil on the Shaila. Since there are some Rishonim who learn the Shaila a little bit different than this, whether it's hot, it's cold, the Mishnah Berurah Lamaise is Naitel Hakil. So we've got to grab the kulas when we get them. So we're going to assume right now, even though the Gemara had that magic word take with the end of the Sugya, we're going to be Naitel Hakil on this. So we're going to breathe a sigh of relief that Pinur Mechem Lamechem is going to be Mutter. So that's pretty good for us. Pinur Mechem Lamechem can sometimes help us. We sometimes like to do Pinur Mechem Lamechem. I'll give you an example of when we sometimes like to do Pinur Mechem Lamechem. Person's cooking a cholent, the cholent's fully cooked already, it's Friday night, it's well into the night, and notices that the cholent is doing well, but doing a little bit too well, then it's starting to dry up a little bit. And he realizes that the only way to salvage the cholent for tomorrow is to get some more water into the cholent. So what are some of the options available to get some of that water into the cholent? Obviously to take water out of the sink, cold water, put into the cholent, that's innocent derice, and that's called mamash bishlamayim, and that's obviously not an option. So the next possible option is, I'm going to take hot water. Where am I going to get the hot water from? Let's say the old style way. I have a tikel, a chaynik on the fire. There's nothing wrong with having the chaynik on the fire. At worst, it was shahiyah, but it was probably boiling hot from before Shabbos anyway, and I had a black. So there was nothing really wrong at all with my chaynik sitting on the fire. But what I'd like to do is as follows. I would like to take the water, in effect, out of this tea kettle and transfer this water from the tea kettle into the chilling pot. So I want to pick it up. Easiest, simple matzias. I want to pick it up and pour it from the tea kettle into the chilling pot. Could there be anything wrong with that? So in terms of bishul, let's assume for a moment there's no bishul issue. The water is fully hot, the chilling is fully cooked. So in terms of bishul, I seem to be home free. Is there a hachzara issue over here? So let's go through the details. So I picked up the pot of water, and I want to, in effect, put it back down. So if I pick up the pot of water, put it right back down on the fire, what's the problem? I have a blech, so I have grufa ketuma. It's oda biyado, I haven't put the water down anywhere yet. It's nitl hach, so I picked it up a second ago in order to put it back on the fire. So nobody would say it's also to pick the tea kettle up, hold it for a second, and put it, let's say if I want to pour myself a cup of hot water. So I want to take the tea kettle, pour a cup of hot water, put it right back down again. I can answer that. That's exactly what the Gemara says. Remember the story that we took a hot water, we put it from one place to another, we put it back onto the fire. So that's Hetter Gomer. It's Gufa Ketuma, it's Oda Biyado, that lots, everything's great. But the minute that I transfer that water to the chilling pot, so now that water was in effect a Pita Mimecham Amecham. I took water and I transferred it from one pot, in fact from the tea kettle, to the chilling pot. So that bodes of a problem of Pita Mimecham Amecham. Because true, the water is still Oda Biyado. And true, the water is Daitel Hachzia. But the water has been switched from one pot to another. So according to one side in Rav Ashi Shaila, that Pita Mimecham Amecham is always a problem. That trumps everything. Once it's switched to another pot, so then all the Oda Biyado and Daitel Hachzia is going to help. It's not going to help you. So then I have a problem. So the answer is you're right. If you would be Machmer in the Shaila, Pita Mimecham Amecham, you would have a problem. This is one of the few takels that we have a right to be makel on. So since we have a right to be makel on Pita Mimecham Amecham, l'chor it's okay to do this. I can take the tea kettle, pick it off the block for a second, hold on to it, pour its contents into the chilling pot, and then put the tea kettle right back. Again, l'chor it sounds like it's okay. It's only okay because we paskin that Pita Mimecham Amecham is going to be all right. Let's move it out of the tea kettle scenario for a second. I don't have a chaynik, I have an urn. So now I want to transfer hot water from the urn into the chilling pot. It sounds like pretty much the same kind of a shayla, just a little bit of a technicality. Namely, that obviously I can't bring the urn to the chilling pot. It's going to be hard to pull off. I obviously have to bring the chilling pot to the urn. So I do the same thing. So I take the chilling pot off, and I carry it over to the urn. And when I took it off, it was Oda Biyado, it's the Idol Hachzir. I press the thing on the urn, water comes into the chilling pot, I bring it back to the blech, what could possibly be wrong? Well, again, it's a Pita Mimecham Amecham, because I took the water out of the urn, which was one mecham, out of one pot, and I'm moving it to another pot, to the chilling pot, and I'm doing Hachzorah on something that just underwent the process of Pita Mimecham Amecham. Again, Baruch Hashem, Pita Mimecham Amecham, Mal Teiku, Mishabur is Mekel, and the Chorot sounds fine. What if it's a little bit difficult technically to do that? What if it's a very big chilling pot, urn's plugged in through three rooms over, got a chilling pot over there, got an urn over there. I can't obviously move the urn to the chilling pot, it's plugged in, and it's a big hassle to move the chilling pot over. So I came up with another great idea. Why don't, instead of schlepping the chilling pot over for 20 feet, why don't I just go to the urn, fill up a pitcher of water, fill up a cup of water or something, and walk the cup of water the 20 feet and pour the cup of water into the chilling pot. What changed exactly? Again, Nachabal, I have Grufa Ketuma, I have Oda Biyado, everything's Oda Biyado, everything's Daita L'Hachzir, Pita Mimecham L'Mecham or Mekelon, so the fact that it went through a cup, so that's Pita Mimecham L'Mecham, everything should be okay. Sounds good. That's where the trouble begins. And it's not just a theoretical problem. This is the most common way of doing it. That's what most people like to do. Most people don't like to pick up a big chilling pot and stand there for 20 minutes by an urn. Most people are not going to be able to carry their urns. They want to carry it through a cup of water. What's the din? Is there any reason to believe that that is worse? So Reb Shimon Eider, in his Sefer HaShabbos, has the following Chiddush Gadol. He assumes that B'med Devar Mamurim, when do we say Pita Mimecham Amecham is good? Now let's not forget, Pita Mimecham Amecham is a kula. We were happy to have that kula. Says Reb Shimon Eider, what's the case of Pita Mimecham Amecham? Listen to the words of Chazal. Mimecham L'mecham. What does mecham mean? Cham means hot. You're moving it from one hot pot to another hot pot. For example, the person who's emptying out the boiling water from the chaynik directly to the urn, either pouring it from the chaynik into the urn, or from the chaynik into the chilling pot, or bringing the chilling pot to the urn. It went through a derech mechem, went through something that's hot. So that's what we're willing to be makel, that even though it has taka changed pots, and that would have been grounds to say that broke up the continuity and that creates a problem of achzara, Baruch Hashem will makel that, no, the continuity is still present. Why? Because it's mechem lemechem. What if it's not me? Listen to the words of the Gemara. What if it's not me? Mechem lemechem. What if it went through a cup, and that cup wasn't hot. You took the empty cup right out of the closet, and you poured it up with hot water. At that point, it's not even a mecham mecham. It's less than a mecham mecham. It's a pina mi mecham lekos tzonein v'shuv pina lemecham. There's no mahu on that. That wasn't even a discussion, says Rav Shimon. That wasn't even on the radar screen. Of course, that's also. Once the food, or the water in this case, leaves the contents of a mecham, once it enters into a non-klirishon, which is the opposite of a mecham, then for sure all bets are off. For sure the haksar is broken up. For sure the kantaru is broken up. And now you want to take water out of a empty cup. And you fill up the cup. Now take that water and roll it over to the children bot. That's not hachzor. That's the sagomer. That's like you put it down. That's like a brand new. That's like starting over again. That's not included in the heter of Peter Mechem Mechem. That's worse than Peter Mechem Mechem of Chazal. That's Rav Shimon Ayyadi's suggestion.
Why did they just say it which goes from the source to a kosher rishon kosheni? Because if it was permitted, the cooler would create a chumra and making tea and making other things, because you would have one more grade directly from the source.
Okay, so again, so the rules of klirisha klishen, those are their ice, they could call them as they relate to bishul. So you have to always clear bishul for sure. Let's not put together the issues of bishul. And I'm sorry, yeah, we're going to come back to that in a minute. But at this point, Rosh Hashanah is just saying it's not a bad svara, and the truth is it works not bad to the words either. So it's not like an off chumrah. It sounds like it makes a lot of sense. And again, the whole idea is part of what we've been saying all along. The whole idea to permit achzara is you have to keep the continuity going. Once you break it up, either by putting it down, in lack of that lahachzer, Peter Mechel Mecha maybe, all these things which break up the continuity from the original source of the flame, it spells trouble.
Did he ask that for a
Moshe? So I don't, you know, it's a footnote in Rav Shimon Ayyadi. I don't remember whether a Moshe, because most of his things do come from a Moshe. I don't think this particular thing came from Moshe, but I don't remember for sure. However, in the Sefer Shmos Shabbos Pilchosa, he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman, who also was mistopic about the Shaila, who also raised this possibility, and Rav Shlomo Zalman was not l'hachol. He suggested as a it's not off the radar screens in Yerushalayim either. But Shlomo Zalman was not l'hachol on the Shaila. He thought that so what? At the end of the day, it's a pidum mechem mechem. I went through something else. So what? Not the end of the world. So I tell you, Ma'aseh Shekachoyim. The first time that I came to back to Moshe Kol, you for sure it's not Moshe Kol, no question about it. Hashem for all those summers. He said when the other night I went to be Menachem of Rabbi Rapp, sitting Shiva. So we Danny Rapp, so we had been Moshe Kol together for many, 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 many years. And why you together for many, many, still why you together? So he commented. He said that. You know, our whole basis, all those years, all those formative years, were made up of two places. There were three places. It was YU Beis Medrash, it was Kibbutz Yavne, and Moshe Kol. It was just a question of where you are at any given time. But those are the three formative places for many, many of us of that generation. So he said that, what would happen? If we wouldn't have been in Moshe Kol, we wouldn't have had so much learning. I said, we wouldn't have had so many stories. I said, we wouldn't have any shiurim to say. I said, everything went wrong. Whatever could possibly go wrong in Shabbos in the kitchen went wrong in Moshe Kol. So kachava, this is the original shaila. Ma'aseh shekacha. We spoke. We mentioned this the shaila in a different context the other day. We had a big cholin pot, and something went wrong under the fire of the big cholin pot. And the problem was that according to the Rebbetzins of that night, they said that if you leave the cholin on this fire, half the fire gone out or something. It was like a giant cholin pot with like four different burners on. So half the burners are out. So if you leave this cholin on this very, very low flame, it's not going to be hot by the next day. Everything's going to be spoiled. It's going to be a disaster. So we're trying to figure out what can we possibly do to salvage this cholin. Obviously, we can't light another fire. What should we possibly do? So someone came up with the Kabbalah Gechab. They said that the two flames that are left are not good enough to keep this tremendous chilling pot going, but they would be good enough to keep about a half the size of that chilling pot going. So they came up with the following hetzah. Said, this is where you need the women to come for them. The men never would have figured this one out. They said, take the chilling pot and empty it. And we only need half it. What do we need? Leftover chilling for the next week and a half. He said, all we need is really half the chilling. We're all going to eat half the chilling. Take half the chilling and throw it basically into the garbage. I mean, not literally into the garbage, but empty it out and use a smaller pot. And if you use a smaller pot, so then it'll probably, that amount of chilling will be able to be salvaged. So the question was, great, so that's what we're going to do. So we're going to take the chillin pot off the fire. We're going to empty its contents, part of its contents, into a smaller pot, and then put that back onto the fire. What was the shayla? The shayla is, that's a pinim mechum lemechum. I'm switching from one pot to another pot. So it's all the biyado, it's not the lachs, it's kufa, ketubas, and everything going for me, but I still have a problem of a pinim mechum lemechum. How much do I have to be concerned with pinim mechum lemechum? So our initial reaction at the time was, pinim mechum lemechum mahu, teku, Mishnebura Paskin, this is the one of the few cases that were making on a teku. So I said, it's fine, it should be mutter.
Why is it mechum mechum? Why is it
just a chzorah? Because it didn't exist. That's exactly the issue we're getting to. So when I said that I said that weekend, because our luck was Rabbi Willie was away at the Shabbos, and I think Rabbi Sif, if I'm not mistaken, was the other Rosh Kol at the time, Jesses Kol years ago, he was thinking he was also away for sure. Lamai said it was 11, 12 o'clock at night in the kitchen. It was basically me calling the shots. So what's the difference? Pina mechel mecha mahu atekub zasofek. What do you do? Said, let's mutter finish. So we started to think about it a little bit, and we started to patch around a little bit, look around a little bit. So I got my hands on Rav Shimon Ayyad Sefer, and for the first time I saw this Chumrah fly out at me. Chumrah said, Peter mechel mecha mahu, b'medvar mamurim, when it goes from one Kli Rishon to another Kli Rishon. But if it goes to another non-Kli Rishon, it goes to an empty cup, that's a problem. Guess what? The empty chillin pot is not halach equivalent to the empty cup. The same with Rav Shimon Ayyad Asar, taking the water from the urn to the cup and then transferring it from the cup to the chillin pot. So Rav Shimon Ayyad would have problems with that. That's one step worse, one step more removed than Pirul Mechel Mechel. So it's the same thing. You're putting it into an empty pot, and the empty pot is not a Kli Rishon, so it's a cold pot right out of the closet. The Chor, that's going to be a problem. So according to Rav Shimon Ayyad, we had a problem.
According to Rav Shimon Ayyad, if you put the pot on the fire, the empty pot on, and then you pour it in.
Oh, so you want to know, can you create a Kli Rishon? Can you make a make-believe Kli Rishon? So
we even go back to my first question. It's just plain Hafzara. I thought it was a shayla of plain Hafzara, not Mechum Mechum, because I understood Mechum Mechum exactly what it is, from one pot to something was cooking, because maybe it was a shayla of Bishon, maybe. But here, if it's just like a plain shayla of Hafzara, like when you take something off and the next day you put it back on.
But the problem is that's the tzad, the mochon. The same with the Gemara had a suffix. Peter Mechel Mechel. Vashi had a suffix to say, a tzad to say, that once it transfers to a different kli, that's already a breakup of the continuity. That was Ravashi's suffix. So we're willing to forego that suffix. We say, okay, it's all Zion. We could be making on that suffix. So Shimon Ayyad said, but Medvam, we could be making on the suffix if it went from one hot thing to another hot thing. So then he could say, it's all hot, it's all continuous. But once it goes to something that's cold, that's already ice, that's already no shaykhs to the fire anymore. That's already starting over. That's worse than Hafzara. That's exactly his chumrah. So according to Shimon Ayyad, there should be a problem. According to Shlomo Zalman, it should be okay. Now, the truth is, this shadow goes back. This is more than 25 years ago or so. I don't remember how this played out. I don't remember whether, I don't think anyone discovered the Shlomo Zalman until after Shabbos was over, so I don't remember what happened exactly to this, I can't tell you. But I think I was the Rosh HaMachmirim. I was the Rosh HaMedavrim. Based on Shimon Ayyad, I wanted to ask this. We moved the clock ahead a couple of years. So after we got married, we lived in Washington Heights. So another source of all our wonderful stories. Same way Rabbi Rapp was my co-counselor in Marsha. So we were pretty much neighbors in Washington Heights also. We used to have the same shows all the time in Washington Heights. I'll tell you what. When in those years, we were known as, we were the source for hot water in Washington Heights. You can imagine what kind of a community we were. Very few people kept urns up on Shabbos. I know they were trying to save money or save space on the, I'm not sure exactly what the issue was, but we were one of the few families that actually kept an urn going on Shabbos, Mistapik B'muat. So we had the urn going on Shabbos. So every once in a while we would have people from other apartments who would run into children problems. They would come to us Friday night to get water for their children. So how did they come and bring their children to us? So those who wanted to be machmer for Shimon Ayyad would come spazzering around carrying pots of cholent, because you want to go directly from the urn into the cholent pots. You shouldn't run into a problem of Peter Mechel for Shimon Ayyad. Those were a little bit more mekel, probably most of the people in the Heights, didn't like walking up and down the stairs with cholent pots. So they would come with cups, whatever, come with containers, with thermos, whatever they wanted to use to fill up the hot water with. So according to the Mekilim, Shlomo Zalman was mekel, Shimon Ayyad was machmer. So remember when the couples used to ask me, can we come and bring an empty cup and fill up your water? I would always respond to them, Shimon Ayyad asked it, Shlomo Zalman was mekel, I said, do whatever you want. I said, you want to be mekel, you can be mekel. The Poskim point out that when one transfers water from either from an urn directly or from a chayik directly or through a cup, whatever, however you transfer it, there is a separate issue, but there may be a mila of actually having the pot of chulent off the fire when that transfer takes place. Why should that be? Usually we like to keep things more in the fire than less in the fire. What's the mila of taking it off the fire? From left field, like Henry was referring to, nothing to do with Hachzara, it may be an issue of Bishul. Issue of Bishul. What could possibly be the issue of Bishul? So if you remember back to the Bishul days, we spoke about a chumra, what's called Hagosa, that when something is on the fire, you're not supposed to stir something on the fire. Even if it's this Basha called Tzorcha, there's one day in Rishon, the Sefer HaKolba, one of the Rishon says, if you stir something while it's on the fire, maybe a shot of a deraisa. Well, we had no idea why that was, Rav Moshe. One idea, other ideas, different ideas why that should be so. But there is such a chumra out there, which we try lechatchila to be knowing. So our minhag is, we try not to stir things when they're on the fire, even if they're fully cooked. And because we don't like to stir things, we generally try not to scoop things also. So some poskim said, if you pour water into a chulin, it's basically tantamount to stirring it. By pouring water onto it, you're mixing it, you're moving it around, so that's considered to be like in effect, stirring it. And we try very hard to avoid stirring while on the fire. So therefore, there's a good reason when you want to transfer water, not only to be concerned with the Hagzor issue, you want to take into consideration the Bishul issue as well. So two things you have to keep now in mind, if you want, anytime you want to transfer water from the chaynik, from the urn to the chilabat, you have to be careful exactly how that water is being transferred. According to some, that water has to go directly through hot utensils, can't go through anything that's not a Kli Risha, and that's what Shabbat Shumra. Shlomo Zalman was less concerned about that. And number two, not only do you have to be concerned where the water is coming from, you have to be concerned where the water is going to. That we try to be machmer, that not to put it directly into the pot, at least when the pot is on the fire itself, to avoid any potential hagos issues. So you got to really be, you got to think of the whole shir klali, anytime you want to just merely add water to the chulent. So again, the worst case scenario of adding water to the chulent is to add cold water to the chulent. That's about as bad as you can get. It's a bishul deraisa. Anything short of that, so you're not in the realm of deraisas. We're in potential realms of hagzar, potential chumas of hagosa. So you have to try to be careful going to some where exactly the water is coming to from and where the water is going to. So this is all the potential modern-day application of four words in the Gemara, five words. Pinu mechem lechem al teku. So meikra, then we paskin that it's mutter. Machlek is the Gedolia Polska of that generation, the last generation really, as to whether there's any limitation on that, and then you have to try to play it out in terms of the Metzias HaDvarim, how this plays out.
You can take water that's yet so let us, but not as hot as water.
Okay, that's really a whole nother story. That's really a potential. If you take water that's only yet so let us bow, but not quite in his basha kol tzorcho, is that, or not quite, mamish, boiling right. Hot. Is that a potential issue of Bishul? So somebody just last night, Ford was talking to me about this, about the I don't remember, was it the Ford or the wedding? Was it both last night? One of the two. So someone's talking to me about this Shaila. I think it was at the wedding, actually. Okay, so maybe we had to remind me on Tuesday. We'll try to pick up with that. Since we're talking about this, we'll try to throw in that piece for good luck, and then we'll move back to issues of Bishul.
Can you take the chillin' pot out, hold it, pour the water in, stir it there?
Yeah, that would be the best.
That's not mecham lemecham.
Right, that would be the best. That's the best.
That's the best or not the best?
That would be the best.
Even though it's not mecham lemecham? Because it's off the fire.
It's better than mecham lemecham. It's mamash mecham lemecham. I took it from the hot water. I put it into the chulam pot. It didn't go through anything else. That's the best.
It's still a clear show.
Right. That's right. I got to make sure no one's putting it down. Right. Okay, so hopefully we'll see you on Tuesday. Hopefully we'll try to come.
What was the answer to the question of if you put an empty pot on the